this morning about, this evening, Charlie already talked this morning a lot about grace. And I just love that message of grace. And I encourage you to, if you didn't hear this morning, you really need that for this message here. Because you kind of have, there's a sequence of things that you need in order to get done what you need to get done in life. It's kind of like when you watch a video, maybe if you're a mechanic or something, you're receiving instruction on how to fix a car. There are certain things that are done in sequence. And you can learn one part, and then you say, okay, well, I know how to change the head gasket, but I don't know how to take off my air intake valve. So what good is that? What's good to know part number two if you don't know part number one, right? And so I believe this church has a great balance in teaching and in preaching and in move of the Holy Spirit that is really good. And I've been really blessed growing up here and learning radical balance, as Pastor Bob Nichols calls it. Well, this morning, Charlie Pryor spoke a lot about grace. And so I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about faith. And you need that balance of both grace and faith. And Charlie mentioned that this morning. You can't have one without the other. And so grace makes something available. It's there, it's for you, but faith reaches out and grabs a hold of it. It's kind of like grace makes the water in your house available, but faith turns the faucet to get it to flowing, right? So grace does you no good without faith. Amen? And if you have all the faith in the world but no water, you can turn that on and nothing will come out. So thank God for grace. But I see where a lot of times we miss it is in our tenacity. So I want to talk to you tonight about tenacious faith. Tenacious faith. So, praise God for that. And as a minister, I've been in ministry for now, like this will be my 22nd year in full-time ministry here at Calvary Cathedral International. Thank you. Praise God. And ministers have to be tenacious. You have to be tenacious. You can't let go. There are a lot of people that are called to ministry, but few people are tenacious enough to stick with it or to not let go. So I want you to turn to the person behind you and tell them, be tenacious. I love that. I see a lot of people laughing because everybody looked behind them and nobody was looking at anyone else. Now let me ask you a question. Raise your hand if you waited for that person to come turn back around so you could tell them you waited for them. That was being tenacious. Come on. Good job. Good job. That was being tenacious. I'm waiting till this person turns back around so that I can tell them. I'm not just going to go, oh, well, forget it. Listen, tenacious means, and I'm going to read some synonyms here that I believe just even these synonyms kind of get us stirred up because we've got to stay tenacious in our soul winning. We got to stay tenacious in our outreach. We got to stay tenacious in anything we do that's worth doing. You got to stay tenacious. It's like a guy who was chopping a tree down. Once he finally chopped that tree down, somebody asked him, which chop was it that made the tree fall down? A lot of people said it was the last chop, but I'll tell you, it was every chop. Amen? It was every chop that caused that tree to fall down. Tenacious means tending to keep a firm hold of something, clinging or adhering closely, a tenacious grip. Synonyms are firm, tight, fast, clinging, strong, forceful, powerful, unshakable, immovable, iron. Not readily relinquishing a position, a principle, or course of action, or determined. It also means persevering, persistent, determined, dogged. I like that term, dogged. You know, they say that bulldogs are tenacious. They can get a grip on something and lock their jaw where they won't let go of it. That's being dogged, amen? Some of you need dog jaws. Strong-willed, tireless, infatigable, resolute, patient, steadfast, untiring, unwavering, and unswerving. Praise God for tenacious faith. That's what God is. He is tenacious. We just sang the song. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. He's the everlasting God. And the more God you have on the inside of you, the more everlasting you're going to be. The more tenacious you're going to be in your nature. So tenacious faith. Romans 1:17. Charlie read this morning. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Look at one person on one side and say, from faith. Now look at the other person and say, to faith. From faith to faith. Now, tenacious faith takes you from little faith to great faith. Tenacious faith takes you from a lesser faith to a greater faith. Not a different faith, it's the same faith. But when you read that it takes you from faith to faith, it means from lesser to a greater. James 1:4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But you've got to not quit. I like pastors, he's the king of that. Don't quit. We were at the stock show booth a couple weeks ago, and we were sitting there telling folks about all our stuff, and we had one of these little pieces of paper there that said, don't quit. I saw this guy come grab one, and then he put it in his pocket, and I said, you know, that's a great message there. And he got to thinking about it. He goes, you know what, I'm going to grab another one. And then he started thinking, and he goes, you know what, he's told his wife, I'm going to get that for Mary or whoever, some friend. I'm going to get one for her too. He's thinking about all the people he wanted to encourage, don't quit. And I said, some people laminate those and even stick them in their wallet. And he said, oh, that's a good idea. And pull it out every once in a while to remind yourself, don't quit. Stick it on your mirror. Do whatever you got to do to not quit. Amen? Hang in there. The Message Bible says in James 1:4, it says this. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open. And that happens a lot. It's easy to preach this message. I love preaching. It's one of my favorite things to do in life. Living it is a different story. Living it is a little bit different. I don't like living this message, honestly. Because to have tenacious faith means you've got to have something that's resisting you. It means you're going to have something to be patient about. And the pressure in our lives forces our faith out into the open to say, do you really believe what you preach? Are you really a Christian or not? It forces the issue here. So, it forces into the open and shows its true colors. When you get squeezed, everything in you is going to come out. That's why we're filling up with this now, this tenacious faith teaching. And I'm going to say tenacious so many times tonight that you'll leave here not forgetting that word. And it'll come up in your spirit when you're squeezed and you're tempted to let go. You're going to say, wait, no. I remember that night Dan said tenacious a million times. I'm going to be tenacious. Amen. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Tenacity separates the men from the boys, the girls from the women. Tenacity is a sign of maturity. You'll notice many times with kids, you can give them a project or a job, they'll walk away from it before too long. But as they get older, they'll stick with things and finish things, complete them, and you say, wow, this is wonderful. I love it. I love it when my kids grow up and are able to finish something that they started. And it's the same way with the Lord. God wants us to finish what we start and to have that kind of tenacious faith. We need tenacity in learning. Don't be a spiritual dropout where you quit school early and just say, God, this is too hard. I'm just quitting. You know, when the going gets tough, then just quit. You know, that's not what it says, right? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Come on, stick with it. Don't give up on the hard stuff. In the Army, you have basic training, right? When you get through the basic training, you go to boot camp. Well, then you get to do the cool stuff, right? But you don't get to do the cool stuff until you finish the basic training. You gotta finish that. In learning, you have to be tenacious in what you do. In learning guitar, I've played guitar for a number of years, and when I very first started playing, the first guitar I got was a 12-string guitar, which has normal guitar has 6 strings. A 12-string is doubly hard to play. And the action on that thing, the strings were real far away from the neck. So it was very hard to push those strings down to touch those frets to make the tone that you wanted. And so, I mean, it hurt so bad. And I just thought, man, I didn't realize this hurt so bad. And I was tempted to give up, but the tenacity to worship God with my own instrument, with my own voice, overcame the pain that I had in my fingers. And at first, it hurts a little bit. But then after a while, it hurts even worse. And there's like shooting pains that go through your fingers. Sometimes when you're not even playing, they'll just shoot through your fingers and you're like, ow, I think I'm damaging my fingers. But then after a long time of playing, your fingers will get callous to the point where it doesn't hurt much, hardly at all, unless you just play for a really long time. You develop thick calluses on your fingers, which I've got now, so that it doesn't hurt to play like it did when I first started and had to endure a little bit. And so that's really the way a lot of things in life, at first, it's hard, it's difficult. Yeah, you're going to have some pain sometimes, and you're going to say, man, is this worth it? But if you stick to it, you'll reap if you faint not. Luke 21:19 says, in your patience possess ye your souls. So it's important to be patient, and in doing that, it will help your soul as you stay patient. The message says, stay with it till the end. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved. Praise God. I like that. Hey, we're talking about salvation here if you'll stick with it. Not just learning to play guitar, but something like salvation. You need tenacity in creating things. As you're creating, some things can only be made right or good over a period of time. Some things are quick and easy, but yet they're not as durable or they're not as artistic. And so you have to be tenacious in creating things. You can't rush art. You get bad art, you know? It's not good. And so you can't just rush things. A sculpture takes a little bit of time. Especially if you've seen those statues where they're marble, and you think of the time those guys took chiseling those statues out with a hand chisel, carving out these statues, and then the time it took to polish and to smooth, all those things, it takes time. Joe, I've seen a lot of your artwork, and I'm amazed that you can do it in not a lot of time, but because you do it more and more, it takes less time the more you do it. But anything you do is worth taking some time to put into it. A crock pot of chili, come on. You can't microwave that. You know, you throw that chili in the microwave, it's going to come out tough and terrible. But you put it in a crock pot overnight, let it set all night in there while you're sleeping. You wake up in the morning and you wake up to that smell of delicious deer chili, or some of you even elk chili, which if you've got that, then you need my phone number. See me after church. But elk chili, oh, wow. It takes some time. It needs to marinate, percolate, all that good stuff. So it takes time, things like that. Things like building a house, building a building. Things like I-35, take time. Please don't quit on I-35. Whoever's in charge of that, please keep going. Tenacious in growing, always going from faith to faith. People ask, how do you make it in ministry so long? I was at summer camp one year, and while I was there, they asked everyone stand up that's been in ministry, you know, a year or more. And so a bunch of people stood up. There were about 40 other youth pastors, 40 churches represented. A lot of people stood up and they said, how many of you have been in youth ministry for 5 years or more? Well, most of them sat down, so there were still some left standing up. How many of you have been in youth ministry for 10 years or more? Everybody sat down except for me and one other person. This was about 10 years ago. And I realized, wow, there are not very many youth pastors that have been doing this for 10 years. I don't know. I would say there's probably not many at 22 years that have been doing, you know, youth ministry that long, junior high, high schools. How do you do that? And people would come and say, how do you stay in so long? The average lifespan of a youth minister is 6 months. Yeah. That's how long they last. Pastors, I'm not sure what the lifespan is, but I guarantee it's not 50 years isn't the average as pastor in the same church. You know, that's pretty amazing. Big John Hall's coming up here in March, I think, celebrating his 50th anniversary. There's going to be a Sunday night service here, I think, for that. Saw on Facebook. That's going to be awesome. You won't want to miss that. People that celebrate these 50-year ministry anniversaries, how do you do that? Well, you have to grow. And how do you make it that long at anything? You grow in it, and it never gets boring if you'll grow in whatever area it is that you're in. See, I like that phrase that says the mighty oak tree was once a little nut that just held its ground. That's tenacious faith. Just be a little nut and hold your ground. And I'm telling you, someday you'll be a mighty oak tree. And people say, wow, that's amazing. Tenacious in fishing. I'm tenacious in my fishing. I had to learn. When I first started out as a little kid, I caught a little bitty perch. And I thought, wow, that's great. They're about this long. They're fun to catch, and I can catch a whole bunch. Then I got a little older, and I started catching crappie that are a little bit bigger crappie. And so I'm catching those crappie. Then going to sand bass. Well, then we went from sand bass to striper. Now, striper are big fish. And some of the fish I caught when I was 10 years old were anywhere from 6 pounds to 30 pounds. And I am not a big man. And when I was a kid, I was even skinnier and smaller as a child. And holding on to a striper like that, you had to get a firm grip. You had to grow in your ability to hang on. Because I thought, this fish is going to pull me out of the boat. And I wanted to let go, but I knew this is Dad's fishing rod, and I know he's going to go crazy if I let go of this. I'd rather drown than let go of this thing. But I told my dad, Dad, you got to get this. Is that David Footit? Hey, good to see you, David. Love you, sir. You just threw me off my preaching now. I'm kidding. Good to see you. I'm holding on to this rod as tight as I can, keeping that grip on, and Dad started to grab it. He started to grab that fishing rod. And then he stopped and he hesitated. And I remember as a kid thinking, Dad, why don't you grab this thing? This thing's going to pull out of my hand. And he started to grab me. He goes, no, you do it. And that strengthened my resolve. Because as he was getting closer, I was getting weaker and weaker and about to lose it. I was losing confidence. Because I knew Dad's going to come get it because I can't handle this. But when he trusted me and said, okay, no, you go for it. I thought, I can't believe he's trusting me with this brand new rod and reel. Well, it's not like he didn't have 10 other ones, you know what I mean? My dad was real into fishing. But I held on, and I amazed myself I was able to get that fish in, and many more fish after that. And from then on, striper were never scary for me. There was never a fish I couldn't bring in. And so, again, you're growing. You're hanging on to things, sometimes things that are a little bigger, a little bit more of a stretch than what you've hung on to before. Or you're doing something a little more than maybe what you've done in the past. And so there are times that you'll go back to catching crappie, you'll go back to catching perch and catching those smaller fish, but you know what, I train and teach my children how to do that. And it's the same thing, but it's from a different standpoint. Now I'm the father and they're the child. Before I was the child and he was my father. So as you grow and you learn, hey, I don't have to be the one to catch the fish as much as I can be the one to teach somebody else how to catch the fish. It brings a whole new dynamic and life to what you're doing. That's how you can stay in ministry for so long. I can find different aspects of this, and I can learn how to get better at it. Tenacious in transportation. Same way as a kid. You grew up, you had roller skates. I remember I learned how to roller skate. And that was so much cooler than walking. I had walked everywhere and was tired of that. And then we went to a skating rink. And I remember listening to old school Petra. Did anybody ever remember that band Petra back in the 80s? And it was this album called Beat the System. And I'm out there skating down. And I just thought, I'm so cool skating on it. And I knew all the words. And I knew how to skate. And then I'm, ooh, hey, see how that guy did? He gets down like this and he puts his leg out like this. You know, y'all remember those days? Back with the shaggy carpet? There's still a few places where they still do that. And there was always the guy with the tank top and the chain with his wallet, you know, to it, and he'd always go down and do like this, you know. And all the kids thought, man, that guy's awesome. He's the coolest guy at the roller skating rink. But then after a while, roller skating got a little boring. I was like, you know, I need to learn something else. I want to grow in my ability, not just do the same roller skating tricks. Take it to another level. Let's bump it up a notch. Let's do something greater. I learned how to skateboard, and I got into it, and I learned, hey, you can do half pipes and ramps and do jumps and flips and all these kind of things. I thought, this is great. And then I got into biking, where I thought, hey, a bike, I can do a bicycle and ride that bicycle and grow. Now, I could still roller skate and did. I could still skateboard and did, but now I can ride a bike too. But then after a while, the bike got to where I couldn't go very far on a bike. And I thought, you know, it'd be nice to have a car. And so, praise God, I went from there to a car. And I remember the first car I wanted, they used to have these little cars called a Mini Brat. And I didn't like the name because I didn't like the name Brat, but I liked it because it was a small car. And I thought, hey, I don't think I could drive a big car. That's kind of scary, but maybe I could drive a small car. And then somebody gave us a go-kart. We got this go-kart. And I got in this. It was about my size. It was perfect. And man, we used to drive that thing till the wheels fell off. I mean, chain would go flying and we'd just be like peeling out, fishtailing, gravel, all kinds of stuff. We lived on a street where we were the only house on the street with a big long road and a cul-de-sac at the end with gravel all in it. Perfect for kids with a go-kart. And so we drove that thing and learned that and then got a car. I thought, if I can get a small car. But then I realized after I got married, I married a woman who had a big old truck. And I thought, oh, great, now I got to learn how to drive this thing. When we first met, I remember we were downtown the first night we met, and I was talking with her and her friend. We were walking downtown, and I saw this big old truck driving by and this little bitty girl sitting in it. As she was driving by, and I said to my wife, I said, that just cracks me up. I love how these little girls drive these big old trucks. By the way, what do you drive? She said, a big old truck. Kidding. She's a Texas girl from the country. She drives a big old truck. So now I drive big old trucks. Then we had to go pick up food donations. And now I'm driving these big old box trucks, you know. I'm thinking, man, if my dad could see me now. It's crazy. Going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. The bigger, the better. It's awesome what you can do. Don't give up. Same in life, just whatever you're doing, be tenacious in it. Maybe your first job. Don't give up on your first interview if they tell you no and you just say, oh, well, I guess I'm just not going to work. So many people give up. Any band musician that has ever tried out for anything, to get on a record label or gone anywhere and presented their ability, their giftings, or their talents, how many times have they been told no before they were told yes? Many, many times. Even the very best in the world were told no before they were told yes many, many, many times. And the ones that quit were just the ones that were not tenacious. And they had great potential, could have been awesome, but yet they just took no for an answer. We can't do that. We can't take no for an answer, because God's answer is yes. And what God says about you and His opinion of you makes man's opinion irrelevant. So just keep going and keep saying, I'm going to go no matter what. I'm not going to let somebody talk me out of the gifting God has put on my life. And I've seen this so many times. I've seen young people come into the youth ministry that didn't particularly have a lot of musical talent. In fact, some of them, hardly any at all. And I, even myself, Mr. Faith Man, I believe I have faith in me, would say, I don't think this kid can do anything musically. I think he should go find something else to do. And yet their tenaciousness causes them to work harder than anybody else, get better than anybody else, and go farther and do more than the most talented people in the church. And I say, God, how did that happen? They had tenacious faith. They wouldn't take no for an answer. They would just keep going, keep serving the Lord, keep doing what God said to do. Now, I'm not saying that if you're not called to sing in the choir, don't keep trying and get thrown out of the choir. I don't know if you could or not. I don't know. But don't tell Tony I said that. Oh, wait, he's here. Never mind. I'm just saying there's something to be said for tenacity. It'll keep you. It'll help you to go the distance. Tenacity in marriage. You know, when I met Ashley, there were several opportunities I had to give up on her. But I wasn't about to. Not about to give up on her. Because when we first met, I thought, she doesn't like me at all. When we very first met, her and her friend were going downtown, and I said, and I never do this, but I said, wherever y'all are going, I'll meet you there for dinner. As soon as I get through here at Youth, I'll come and meet y'all at dinner. They said, oh, well, we're going to Chili's downtown. I said, wonderful, I'll see you there. I thought, okay, they're expecting me. I get there, and there's a table for two, and they're sitting there, and there's no third chair. I thought, I told them I was coming. What is the deal? Didn't let that stop me. I grabbed another chair. Are y'all using this? No. Hey, there's room right here. How are y'all doing? That's tenacity. And then there were times I would call her. And I would talk to her and I'd say, hey, would you like to do something? I want to, you know, do this or whatever. And she'd say, no, I have a test. I have to study. And I'd be like, what? What's that about? Saying no, you have to study? Come on. And I thought that was a bad thing. And I found out that's a good thing. That's a great thing. And then she wouldn't call me back. And I was moping around for a while and just down. So I was like, what's wrong? I said, well, you know, I felt like this is God. I'm just doing everything I can. And this girl won't call me. And they said, that's good. I said, what? That's a good thing. If she won't call you, that means she doesn't call boys. And I said, that's good. I'm going to go call her right now. I realized, hey, that's my job, right? It's my job to be tenacious and to pursue her, right? And so I realized, oh, this girl, she's an old-fashioned country Texas girl, and I like that. And I didn't take no for an answer, and I made her marry me. Hey, Valentine's Day is Wednesday, guys. Valentine's Day is Wednesday. Don't forget it. Be tenacious in pursuing your wife. Be tenacious in pursuing your wife. Remember those days. Remember what it was like and say, wow, have I done that lately? Have I pursued lately? Have I overtaken and recovered all? I need to do that. I'm going to be tenacious. All right. We won't go any further into that. You have to be tenacious with your children. Because if you don't have a plan for them, they'll have a plan for you. And that's with all young people. Children will run your house if you're not careful. And I never cease to be amazed at people who are not tenacious with their children, and their children are tenacious with them. And kids will just be like, I don't want to go to church. Well, then you don't have to. And you ask people, hey, where have you been? Well, you know, little Sheol, she doesn't like church, so we don't go. And you're like, what? Really? Or you're like, you know, there's a Christian school. It's one. Well, you know, little demon, he's got his friends at school, and he's got his friends at school. He just doesn't want to leave death, hell, and the grave. And so, you know, hey. I mean, we can't make him. You're just not tenacious. You got to be tenacious with children. And you got to keep on them. And it won't make them happy sometimes. But you know what? In the end, it always produces happiness. It always produces joy. It really does. And my parents were very tenacious with me. In their spanking, in their correcting, in everything. And you know what? I knew they loved me. Because when you're tenacious about something, it's because you care about it. And it shows your love, and it shows that. Now, when you're tenacious, show love in that. Okay? That's good. It's important to do. I love some of the most amazing times with my children is actually after I've had to be tenacious with them and say, no, listen, we are doing this. And that is that. And this is why. This is what the Bible says. And I stick to it. And I can't tell you how many times Samuel or Sarah come up to me afterward and just give me a big old hug. And say things like, I'm glad you're my daddy. And I think, you know, I would have thought it would be the opposite. I would have thought they would be upset or mad because I made them do something that they didn't want to do. But when it paid off or it worked out, then they said, oh, Daddy was right. Daddy does love me. Daddy cares about me. And Daddy wants me blessed. Tenacious faith is a family faith. Teach it to your kids. I'm glad to see more kids here tonight. I see some young people that are here tonight. I love that. I love seeing kids in the house of God. Yeah, we have church tomorrow, but this is the first day of the week. We have school tomorrow. Put Jesus first in your week. We like to do that. There's some things that help us in our family. And one of those things is putting God first on the first day of the week. I believe that's important on Sundays. And saying, you know, let's put God first today and let's watch how the rest of our week gets blessed. In Joshua 24:15, it says, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it takes a tenacious faith to stand like that and to say, listen, as for me and my house. Now, Joshua is saying, listen, you make your choice. Your family makes your choice for you. I'm not telling you how to run your family. But as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. And when you have that kind of resolve, your kids won't, they'll know, don't even try. I'm not even going to try because I know Dad won't give up. I know Mom, she's a bulldog. She will say no to anything that is ungodly or not righteous. I just know that. And so stay tenacious in your family. And look at verse 16. The people answered Joshua and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And I love how they just said, God forbid that we would forsake the Lord to serve other gods. How many times do we do that when we forsake church to go after some other god? Whatever it is. Whatever it is, even maybe that your child wants to do or does or whatever. You're teaching them that God's not first priority, you are first priority. And usually it's just what your flesh wants. And that's what kids are. Kids are little balls of flesh. that are untrained and totally just natural. And so you've got to train that flesh. You got to train them how to overcome the flesh and how to say, listen, we're not going to do this. We are going to do this. We're going to hold on to our faith and not let go. That way, when your friends come along and try to tell you, let's go over this way, and they grab you by the hand and take you somewhere to go ungodly, you rip your hand out of their hand and say, no, I will not be moved. Amen? Get some kids with some backbone. Amen. Go ahead, give God praise for that. I'll never forget the first time a guy offered me a cigarette. And not that smoking cigarettes the worst thing that ever happened to you, or that it's a terrible sin or anything, but praise God, I've never had a cigarette in my mouth. And I was tenacious in that. And I remember this kid offering me a cigarette. The first time I was out skateboarding and came across this other skater kid that liked to smoke. I was 14 years old. And he goes, hey, man, you want a cigarette here? And I was like, no. He was like, here. I was like, no way. I don't want that. Yuck. And he couldn't figure that out. He couldn't believe that. I said, no. Actually, I did try smoking one time. I took a cap gun and I shot it a bunch of times. And I took the barrel and I went and breathed in the smoke. And that gunpowder burned my lungs so bad. Oh, it hurt. And I thought, man, what do people see in that? I have no idea. Oh, tell you what, I never smoked another thing again. You got to be tenacious with other people. You know, sometimes your family doesn't do right. And you want to just leave them. But you can't. And I'm not talking about necessarily immediate family. Sometimes immediate family. But also, you know, you have to be tenacious and holding your ground. And I know Ashley and I, we talk a lot of times. We're like, we're always just lovey-dovey. And we love each other all the time. There's never any disagreements or trouble ever. But that's not true. And there have been times, especially early on, where she would make me so mad, I would just have to leave. I'm like, I don't even want to talk to that woman. And I would leave. And she'd be like, you get back here, because you don't walk away, because that's practice for divorce. And I said, what? Wait, I never heard that in Conqueror's Club. What? She knew something I didn't know. I said, what? She said, you don't just walk off and leave. That's practice for divorce. And I said, well, I don't want that. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to make some rules of engagement here. We need to say, these are things that we will do and these are things that we won't do. And I said, well, I don't like how you grit your teeth when you talk to me. And she's like, well, then I won't grit my teeth if you won't walk away. I said, okay, but also no slamming things. You can't slam things down because that makes me want to run away. And I'll never forget, before we got married, Charlie Pryor told me this one. He said, don't raise your voice in the house unless it's on fire. And so we put that on there. Don't raise your voice in the house unless it's on fire. If you're going to communicate, you're going to communicate in a lower tone. Bring it down. And now you write all these things down, and then you're tenacious about that list. To where you say, listen, we're going to be tenacious about keeping this list. And we always end with a genuine, I love you, a hug, and we're good. That's how we end. Amen? Think that's good? It'll bless you if you're tenacious in keeping those rules and tenacious in your family and saying, okay, this is how we're going to behave ourselves in our family. We're not going to allow certain things. And husbands, you've got to, whenever there are things that you want to allow in the house and the wife says no and you know, well, she's probably right, don't override that gift in her heart to say, I don't want this in the house. If it's something that's not good, she said, I just don't like that movie. You know, I don't like that video game. Wives are anointed to do that. I can't explain it. But they're anointed of God to look out for things, to say, you know what, I don't want that. And the dad is anointed to say, it shall not be in my house. You hear what I'm saying? A dad is anointed to say, if you don't want it in here, it's not of God. It will not come in our house. That's what dads are anointed to do. And so they can keep it out. And you keep your shield of faith and your sword of the Spirit, and you guard your house. This is not in my notes at all, but praise God. Yes, amen. You got to be tenacious with other people. Stick together as a family. Just be patient with each other. And sometimes even with your friends. Friends at church can hurt your feelings. I've grown up my whole life in church. From the time I was born, and I've had my feelings hurt many, many, many times. It happens a lot in church, just like it does in families. Because the closer you are to people, the more open you are to hurt, really. And so you have to have, like what Pastor Bob says, a tough hide, but a tender heart. That's something I've learned from being here, is tough hide, tender heart. You know, if somebody hurts my feelings, I need to have a tougher hide. Maybe I need to not be so sensitive to where anything you do offends me and makes me mad just because I didn't answer your call in the first 5 minutes or whatever. Or I forgot something, or I didn't, or I said something. Then sometimes people make mistakes. And so if people make mistakes, they're going to say things sometimes that they don't mean, or that they didn't phrase it perhaps the right way. And I had to catch myself this morning because I thought, oh, Lord, help me. I think I just offended someone. Because just this morning, and I don't usually do this, but I'm going to tell on myself here. Somebody was in there. I said, wow, you look great. You look awesome. I didn't even recognize you. And I walked away and I thought, yikes. That didn't sound good, did it? It was a compliment, but I think it kind of came across as not a compliment. Wow, you look great. You look awesome. I didn't even recognize you. I thought, wait a second. That was probably a dumb thing to say. I probably shouldn't have said that. And so, hey, sometimes we say things that we wish we wouldn't have said it or phrased it just like that. You know, and I always told my wife, I said, hey, if I ever say something to you and there's two different meanings, know that I meant it in the best possible way. Yeah, that's right. Amen. And she said, well, that's still no excuse. So it's still no excuse. But sometimes we say things, and if no man is perfect, so somebody might hurt your feelings. Nobody's perfect in everything they do either. And so you've got to be tenacious in your forgiveness. To say, you know what, I'm not going to let this spirit of offense come between us. I'm not going to allow offense between us. I'm going to tear down that wall. And if a wall comes up, you're the one that let it. You hear that? It wasn't them that did that to you that caused the wall. You let the wall come up as a result of what they did. And so it's your fault if you get an offense. Now, what they did wasn't right, but still, don't be upset about it. Don't quit going to church just because somebody offended you. Be tenacious with your enemies. And I understand sometimes there are enemies, and they can cause a lot of pain, a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, and they're just after you. Maybe enemies at work, enemies in your neighborhood, enemies in your family or whoever. The Bible says to love your enemies. So you got to love them tenaciously. And that takes some doing sometimes. I had this guy I used to work with. I've never had anybody more of the devil in my life than this person. In every way. Threatened to shoot me. And probably would have. And I tell you, it was the hardest thing to walk in love toward this person. But I realized this person is that way with everyone. And really, this person has zero friends. And no one has the tenacity to love this person. Zero people. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take that on as a project. I'm going to love this guy no matter what. And I remember one time there was a Coke machine down the way that they took a quarter for a Coke. It tells you how long ago this was. Quarter for a Coke. Had it in my pocket. And this guy, he says, "Hey, you got a quarter for a Coke?" And I was like, "I do, but it's for me. And it's the only quarter I've got. And I'm going to get a Coke when it comes break time." That's what I'm thinking. But I say, "No, tenacious in love. Come on." I said, "Here," I threw in my quarter. "Here you go." He went and got his Coke. Didn't even say thank you. He had no clue. That was my only quarter. So then another time, I was wearing this sweater, and he said, "Hey," the only time he ever said anything nice to me was he complimented my sweater. "Hey, I like your sweater." And I was like, "Awesome, man. Hey, thanks." Well, later on, as time went on, I took off that sweater and I gave it to him. I said, "Hey, I want you to have this." "What? Really?" He was shocked. And then I ended up leaving that job. And years later, I'm driving down the road. This was like maybe 10 years later. I'm driving down I-30. And there's this car comes up next to me. It's like a cop car. And so I'm just keeping my eyes straight. And I realize, am I doing everything right? Watching my speed, everything. And I realize as I look over, oh, it wasn't a cop car. It was a security vehicle with lights on it. And he goes, "Pull over, this guy, pull over." And I'm like, "Why am I being pulled over by security on I-30? I'm thinking, "No way, I ain't pulling over." And I realize, oh, that's that guy. That's that old guy I used to work with. So I pull over. He comes out, "Hey, man, how are you doing?" Just giving me high fives, everything. Just like I was his best friend in the world. And probably was. But that's what being tenacious to your enemies will do. And even if not that, even if you've been tenacious in love and it still doesn't work, you can outlast your enemies with tenaciousness. Psalms 37:10 says, "For yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place and it shall not be." So that you can even look for him and they'll be gone. You can look for them hard and you won't find them because they're not here. You can outlast your enemies. Jesus is the ultimate example of tenacious faith. Isaiah 50 verse 4. I love this little passage of scripture here. It's Isaiah talking about Jesus, but we see Jesus fulfilled all of this and lived this life out exactly. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning." Now get this. He wakens me morning by morning. So it's a progressive thing. Every day. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I was tenacious, in other words. I didn't turn back. And look at verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters. I gave it to them. And my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. I mean, that takes a tenacious spirit. Could you imagine that kind of stuff happening to you? Shame and somebody spitting on you? I know if somebody was doing that to me, I would be very tempted to dodge. Which I have done, actually, in soul winning. One time when one guy tried to lick me. I dodged the lick. And I grabbed him and I said, "Are you okay?" He goes, "Oh, yeah. I was just trying to lick you." I came back. I told Pastor Bob about it. I said, "You know, one thing about soul winners, we can take a licking and still keep ticking." Jesus hid not his face from shame and spitting. He said, "The Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint." Jesus set his face like an arrowhead. You know, they make arrowheads out of flint. Or used to. Maybe they still do. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. This is what Jesus is saying. Boy, he's a fighter. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. I'm not going to hide my face from them. Let him spit in my face. Let him rip out my beard. Let him beat me in the back. Let him do whatever. That is tenacious. And yet we're like, I don't know. They told me no, and so I'm never going soul winning again. They shut the door on me, told me to go away. Man, come on. Get a little tenacity. It says, who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Boy, that's powerful. Stay on your God. Just like you stay on your guard, you stay on your God. Amen? Like the story I heard one time about Vietnam, where back in Vietnam, Gunny, you'll appreciate this. In Vietnam, there were guys that they had to hold their position because lives depended on them holding that position. And they knew the temptation would come to run and to draw back and to give up their position. So what they did while they were strong, they would take a chain it to their leg and drive a stake and chain themselves to that position where when they're fighting, they could not back out. And so it was fight till I die. That's the kind of tenacity I'm talking about, to where you say, I'm not going back because I have made it where I cannot go back. Remember when Jesus came up to the disciples and said, are y'all going to leave too? And they said, where are we going to go? We have nowhere to go. We don't have our fishing business anymore. Where are we going to go? We have nothing. You're it. We've banked everything on you. We put all our eggs in your basket. And Jesus said, that's what I'm talking about. He chose wisely in his disciples, men that were tenacious. And so you got to sometimes get yourself to a place to where you're so wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus that there's no way you're getting out of that. There's no way you're going to go back and serve the devil. You kidding? I like this story of the USS Akron. It was a dirigible, which was one of those big old blimp type things. But they used to fill it up with gas. And they'd quit making these after the Hindenburg and all those blew up, you know. Well, the USS Akron was this big airship with all this explosive gas in it. And they were taking it all around the world, I believe. And they were coming into San Diego. And as they were bringing this ship down, they have all these men, all these sailors were holding these ropes all the way around this ship to hold it down. Because otherwise it would tend to float up and down and float away, and they had to hold it in position. So all these guys are holding these ropes. And so a big wind comes out of nowhere and just starts blowing that thing away. And everybody that starts letting go. And I feel like many times that's how ministry can be. That's how the church can be. The first storm, everybody starts, whoop! Everybody lets go. And what does that leave for the man who's tenacious? They take off. One of them couldn't hold any longer. He fell. One guy fell, I think, and broke his ankle, twisted his ankle or something. Another guy fell to his death. And there was one guy still on. One of those guys that fell to his death, was an acrobat. And they said, oh, that's the acrobat. He'll be fine. He fell to his death. How did that happen? And there's one guy still up as it goes up and up and up. So far, all they can see is this little speck hanging onto this rope. And everybody is amazed, man. And they're waiting. Oh, he's going to fall. He's going to fall. And they waited for hour, I think, or more. and he's still holding on. Well, eventually somebody comes in the airship. They come down to a porthole, were able to open it, reach out, grab the rope, pull it in, and lift him up into the ship. And he lived, survived. The ship came back down to the ground. Everybody wanted an interview with that guy. He was smart and he got an agent. And he said, I'm not talking to anybody until I talk to an agent. Because everybody wanted his story. What? How did you do that? Well, finally he sold his story to the right person that would pay the most. And he said, all I did was I took that rope and I tied it around my waist. And he said, when I couldn't hold on anymore, that rope was holding on to me. And I'm telling you, I have lived that in ministry many, many times. I have my life so tied up in ministry, so tied up in Jesus. I've got Jesus so inside and outside and all around and everywhere that if I got tired and tried to let go, I'm telling you, I'm going so far and so fast with Jesus that he's holding on to me. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for what you've made available. Thank you, Lord, that I've got it in me when I don't need it, so it's in there when I do need it. Praise God. Thank God I've been coming to all those services every week. So when the pressure was on, my faith life was forced out into the open, and praise God, junk didn't come out. Garbage didn't come out. But everything I've been hearing in every service, every meeting, every message of Pastor Bob, every time I got the word in me when I was squeezed, came out. Praise God. It's like when I got out there in the battle, in the heat of the battle, every bit of that training that I was taught came into play, and instantly I responded in the way I was taught. Training saves lives. So what do they say? How does that go? How much sweat saves how much blood? Something like a pound of sweat or an ounce of sweat saves a pound of blood or something like that. The more you sweat in peacetime, the less you'll bleed in wartime. Boy, that's good. I'm telling you, you got to stay tenacious, even in the good times. So, we're about to wrap it up here. Be tenacious and waiting for Jesus to come back. Luke 2:25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Remember the story of Simeon? How he was waiting for Jesus. And the day came when he got to hold the baby Jesus. He said, oh, I've been waiting for this. The same way we've got to wait for his return. Be watching for his return. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, which is hell, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not of those that draw back. We just keep going forward. We keep going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen? And we can even be sometimes tenacious in suffering. I had braces, and I'll never forget. I got the braces all on. I didn't ask many questions. I just knew I had crooked teeth. I wanted them straight. I went in, got them. God provided a way. They put them on, and it hurt. It was so painful. And then I asked the orthodontist, how long do I have to wear these? And he said, 4 years. He's this guy from India, Dr. Mehta. 4 years. I said, what? 4 years? I thought it was going to be like a few months or maybe a year. 4 years? And he said, and thank God he didn't tell me before or I wouldn't have done it if I had known. And he said, how old are you, Mr. Kraft? And I told him, I think at the time I was like 24 or 25. And he said, it took you 25 years for your teeth to get this crooked. What is 4 years? What's 4 years? 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." Resist them steadfast in the faith. When sickness tries to come on you, you got to do like we did this morning and just get steadfast in your faith and say, "No, we're all coming against the devil. We're saying no to this sickness junk. It's got to go. We're not going to cower down. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to run from it, but we're going to hit it. We're going to make the devil pay. And we're going to keep resisting." Amen? Resist and keep resist. Don't say, "Well, I prayed and it didn't work, so oh well. I guess it doesn't work." No, you pray and keep praying. That's like, I never cease to be amazed by people that say things like, "Oh, I tried tithing and it didn't work." What? "I tried giving and it didn't work, so I just don't do it." To me, that's like saying, "I tried breathing and it didn't work, so I quit." It's not something you try. It's not something you quit. Because it didn't work. No, it's something you continue in. And you do. You do till you die. And I'm telling you, the blessings of the Lord come. It's holding on to the things of God. "Well, you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But, you know, I did that and I got hurt, so I just left." No, you still stay in there. Why would the Bible say that unless there was an opportunity to be tempted to not to? You know what I'm saying? So, don't be tempted to not to. It says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Everybody goes through some suffering sometimes. Everybody's going through some pain. You're not the only one. And that's good to realize and to know. To say, "Well, but you don't understand. I get real tired on Sunday mornings." Well, so does everybody else. But we show up anyway. "Well, but you don't understand. It was icy this morning. The weather was bad." You know how many people were here? There was a bunch of people here. Now, I'm not saying don't use wisdom, you know. Don't crash your car and kill yourself trying to get here. But if you did, you know, there's worse ways to go. I personally wouldn't mind going to heaven and say, "I was on my way to church when I got killed." "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know what I'm saying. I'm not saying kill yourself. But I'm saying have a little more backbone, a little more steadfastness to say, "I'm not going to let something stop me from doing what God said to do." Some of the greatest ministers in the world, I hear their stories and I hear how they were taught, how God trained them, and they were taught determination and tenacity in church attendance. Many people were taught tenacity in church attendance, in business, in family, in ministry, in creativity, in whatever it is. In verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, we go through some stuff. How do you make it that long in ministry? How do you make it that long? Don't take no for an answer. Keep going. Don't give up and don't quit until your body is dead. It's simple. Till you can't go anymore. And you know, during those times, you can rest in the grace of God. Amen? When you've done, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And watch what God will do. Because there have been times I had to let go and just say, "God, I can't hold on anymore." And that reminds me of this scripture, Psalm 40, verse 1. If the band would come on up. Psalms 40, verse 1 says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord. and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. There are times in life when no matter how tenacious or determined you are, it's bigger than you. And you need the God that is bigger than anything. And he makes it available. But even then, you just grab it. Just grab it. And don't let anybody talk you out of it. There may be people that you've got greatness on the inside of you, great things waiting to happen, and something somebody said to you a long time ago caused you to let go of that. Or just say, well, I'm just going to let go. I'm not going to be tenacious in what I'm desiring here from the Lord. Maybe it's been years, something you've been believing God for years. And you say, well, you know, I keep hearing that God will supply all my needs, but how long has it been? I still have needs. I had needs when I first got here in 2014. Now here it is 17, and I still have needs. Well, if God can't do it in 3 years, then forget him. I would just say to you, how old are you? It took you how many years to get that crooked? God can do things in a moment, though, too. That you've been struggling and struggling and struggling in the power of your own might. And you can just say, Lord, I have held on and done everything I can do. And I have stood. And now, God, I'm calling out to you. But I'm still not letting go. You have to get to that place where you say, but I'm still not letting go. Even if I don't get the answer this second, I'm still not letting go of it. I love it whenever Samuel, I'll tell him no about something. And we've trained him to do this. But I'll tell him no. And he used to get mad and upset and throw fits and just be all, but we stopped that. Come here, give me a hug. And now, whenever I tell him no, if it's something that he really wants or whatever, most of the time, he'll say, you're still a good dad, and I still love you. And I tell you what, that makes me want to bless him. If it's something at all that I can give him, I will. If it's something I know that's good for him, I will. And if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more to the Holy Spirit? Does God give the Holy Spirit to those that ask, or give whatever it is that you're asking? And to say, okay, you know, if I don't see the answer right away, and I saw this too in Samuel when he was a little boy, he was believing God for this toy. It was a game called a Nintendo DS. And it was one of the little small games that you play. And I had the baby monitor in his room. And I could hear him while I was in my room talking when he woke up in the morning. And he says to God, he's talking to the Lord. And I thought, hey, this is great. How old was he, babe? Do you remember? Like maybe 5 or 6? Oh, you think you were 3? Maybe 4? 3 or 4? Well, anyway, he's talking to God. So I go over to the monitor and I'm listening. And he says, God, I want a Nintendo DS right here on my pillow by the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. And then there's nothing for a few seconds. And he goes, "Come on, God, you can do it." I'll never forget laughing so hard. Oh my God, come on, God, you can do it. Hey, it's my job to embarrass you. You know I love you. Well, I thought we're all the same way, Samuel. We are all the same way. Where we say, God, I want this by this time on the count of three. By the time I'm 20, I want to have this. By the time I'm 40, I want this. By the time I'm 60, I want this. Or I need to be healed by this tonight or else. And then when we don't get it, we're like, come on, God, you can do it. You hear that from the world all the time. God could have done it, but he didn't. Why didn't he? Because you're not God, thank God. Amen? Because he's God and you're not. It's a disrespectful thing to think that you know more than God does. But just to say, you know what, God, I receive it right now by faith. I know all good and perfect gifts come from you, and I love you anyway, and I trust you with your timing on that, but I receive it now by faith. And I'm going to trust you on the timing of that. Let's all stand. But don't let go of it. Hallelujah. I want everyone to just bow your head right now. Hallelujah. I want you to ask God, is there anything in my life that I have let go or that I've not been tenacious about? And just ask the Lord to help you. We've got to have the grace to do it. Say, God, give me the grace to hang on to and to not let go of that dream or that idea or that thought, whatever I was told no about, or it didn't seem like I got it, or maybe that friendship or maybe that relationship that you gave up on too easily that you should have held on to. And if you're here tonight and you just say, you know what, I want prayer concerning this. I want you to just come down here right now and just stand right here. I'm going to pray with you. If you're here tonight and say, I just want prayer concerning this. If you don't need it, no problem. There may be just only a few. But if you say, you know what, I just wanted a faith agreement and we're going to get a hold of this thing and I believe we're going to see it to come to pass. Maybe it's a lingering problem or something that has been an issue for a while. You say, it's time to make a determined resolve. You know, sometimes just that you're resolved, the fact that you'll take no for an answer will scare the devil off. He knows there's no point in even trying with him. Remember the story of the unjust judge? The lady that kept coming and coming and coming. He realized this lady is not going to give up. I'm just going to give her what she wants. I'm just going to give her what she wants. It's not God holding it back from you, but it's the devil. It's a hindrance. Keep praying, just like Daniel prayed through till the angel got there. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. Don't cut it short. Don't quit early. Don't dig and dig and dig, and then you're inches away from the gold, and you stop. Say, oh, forget it. I'm tired. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, for Blanca, Lord. I thank you, God, for meeting that need, God. Thank you, Jesus, for the tenacity. Praise God. That same bulldog spirit in the name of Jesus that won't take no for an answer. You will not be denied your miracle. You will not be denied your miracle. You've got it in Jesus' name. Like the woman with the issue of blood, you're pressing in. You say, you know what? I will touch the hem of his garment and I will be healed. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for tenacity in Jesus' name, that you won't be denied, but you have the thing that you ask. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You have that thing you ask, just like Hannah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You don't take no for an answer. You hold on. Hallelujah. You got that Grenada grip. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got that Grenada grip that won't take no for an answer. And you have that thing you asked. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for a tenacity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Strength. Hallelujah. Strength, that firm grip. Won't take no for an answer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, again, if this is the only message you heard, then please go back and listen to this morning. The message Charlie spoke on grace. And that will also encourage you, I believe, to grab it by faith and say, hey, it's mine. Praise God. Thank you. Anything else, Charlie, we need to... All right, don't forget, tomorrow night, prayer, 7 o'clock, ladies meeting, Tuesday at 10, Super Soul.